to see you today. We're gonna start with a little something visual that we can see. And so, Pastor Rob, I'm gonna ask you to come be my Vanna White, if you don't mind. Thank you. You're the most handsome man I've ever met. Okay, so I don't know if you guys know this about the good reverend here, but he was quite the track star. Is that true?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so humility is over there on the cart, so you just tell it straight. How good were you?
I broke my high school record in the 200.
Okay. It's pretty awesome, right?
I came in second place to the fastest, once was the fastest man in the year, and that was Tyson Gay.
Yeah, yeah. And he would not have become the fastest if not been pushed by you.
I have my Al Bundy moment.
Yeah, I like this. Now, you could still win. Like, if we all go race, you would win.
Yeah.
But you don't get to run like you used to run.
Everybody.
Yeah, yeah. Another thing that you might know about him is this man works at the same speed that he ran. You juggle more things than anybody I know, right?
Yes.
So we're going to see if we can take that athleticism and that ability with work and see if you can actually juggle.
Okay.
There's no trick. I think you can do it. Well, you can start with two.
Yeah.
I mean, I believe in you more than you believe in you, but okay. So let's see what let's add this. Let's add these. Okay. Anybody else a professional juggler? Okay. Come on. Come show us how. Thank you. You did wonderful. Come on. I put it on Facebook this week, so that counts as a warning that somebody was going to juggle. For right now. Look at this! There we go. That was good. You want to try it? Yes! Yes! Thank you. Well, that's very nice. You didn't have to, but I appreciate that. Good juggling. So here's the point. We have some athletes here. I didn't make you brag about your athletic accomplishments. We get to talk about those after. Ask the question. You'll get some good answers. We have some jugglers here. And we have some people who can juggle a lot of stuff. And it's fun when it's wiffle balls. It can be a little less fun when it's, like, crisis. When it's survival. It's also a little less fun when it is how we understand religion. There's a bunch of rules that we have to juggle. And every Sunday we get the rules reprioritized. So the person with the microphone just like adds another ball in there, you know? Or depending on where you are, adds a flaming sword in there. And then you have to continue juggling. And the way that you show that you're devout is you just become good at juggling. All these right thinking, all these right actions, all this stuff. And it's a little exhausting. And so this morning, you guys know we're in this series, Contact Light, where we're kind of orbiting around, landing in this faith, the faith that many of us have had forever, but we're trying to look at it in the way that Jesus describes it. And we're going to look at some extremely familiar passages this morning. And often we have read them like they are asking us to juggle more. And I want to invite us to look at it a little bit differently. I think this kingdom that Jesus is establishing is one that actually tethers us. You know, like every great space movie, the astronaut is alone. One of them is sent outside to fix something. Often it's the female, which, like, way to go. She's probably the one who could do it. But it also feels like you guys are all brave until it comes to that moment. And then you send her out. That's really weird. But anyway, it's always, like, they always send one person alone. Then there's that tether, and there's always that scene where they're fixing something, and they lose control of what they're holding, and we hope that tether holds, right? And there's that tense moment where they go further and further out, and you hope it holds, or certain movies where somebody comes and undoes the tether, and it gets really mean. But that's a different sermon. I believe this stuff that Jesus is talking about is meant to anchor us. It's meant to tether us. It's meant to give us security. And instead, oftentimes, we have read it as like we have to prove ourselves and juggle a bunch. And it feels very different to feel grounded, to feel anchored, than it feels to feel like we're juggling, right? And so as we're reading this, I want you to imagine these words as words that are invited and given to us to help us feel anchored, to help us feel tethered to something greater. Matthew 22 is the passage we're in. Go ahead and open to it if you'd like. We don't have slides today because the preacher didn't send slides for today. But I'll read them for you. In verse 34, it says, when the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, an expert in the law, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which commandment in the law is greatest? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So he's asked by a Pharisee, he's asked by a lawyer, someone who's an expert in the law. And the law, we know, is hundreds of laws, right? That any good Jewish person has to juggle all hundreds of these. And the Pharisees were actually really particular at setting guidelines to help you follow the laws. So there are hundreds of laws and thousands of guidelines. He's saying, for us to successfully do this, which ones are most important? Which ones do we need to be able to balance and juggle the most? And Jesus answers. And Jesus answers something that's familiar, not just because people heard it coming from Jesus, but because people heard it in the temple every week. People recited it every day. It's found in Deuteronomy 6, 5. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. So we have some words that change there a little bit. You go into the different gospel accounts, there's actually a slightly different list. And we could sit at a table and talk about maybe why that is. I don't think it means that any of the accounts are lying. I think we could get into that, but we're not going to this morning. But between Deuteronomy and Matthew, we have these four things with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, and our might. But before we start juggling those four, let's look at what they are. So we talk about the heart a lot, right? We don't really talk about the actual organ very much. We probably should talk about it a little more. But we talk about it as like a metaphor for a bunch of things, as a central place within us that everything else comes from. We say things like, cross our heart. Or we said that when we were kids. I did anyway. We would say, put our hand to our heart, give from our heart, all sorts of things like this. But in the Bible, what's being meant by the heart? When we see heart here, it's fair for you to be thinking about hypocrisy. That this is talking about having no hypocrisy in our life. The heart, what Jesus is saying with the law, is that we can love God in a way that we aren't claiming a love for God that is one thing and practicing a love for God that's another. And this is a big deal every day, but this is a big deal right now, right? And we're not making claims on Sunday that we're not living into on Monday. That we're not performatively saying one thing and then secretly living another way. If we want to know how to live in the kingdom of God, love the Lord your God with all of your heart. Let your actions be the same thing as your words. And so if you came to that last song and you were like, I don't think I could sing of your love forever. I get tired after like 7 minutes. You can change the verse to match the truth of what you're saying. No, God, it's true that right now I don't have much endurance for this. Life is heavy. And I want my words to match my heart, to match reality, because you know what happens then? Then God can meet you there. But when we think we are in one space because that's expected of us, or whatever reason, and we are somewhere else, it's really hard for us to live a transformative love with God. It's hard for us to feel tethered if we come in and see one another. And thankfully, we don't do this here very often. But if we came in and you had the obligation of saying, oh, everything's perfect, it's great. And then you sit in your seat and you feel the weight of 10,000 heavy things in your life. Jesus is saying that the kingdom he came to establish that's in our midst is one where if you want to know how to live in it and how to be a good citizen, one of the things you do is let there be no difference between what you say and what you do, what you feel. Don't try to fake people out. Now we can say, hey, you know what? I hope to grow. I hope to change. It doesn't mean we just wallow. But to me, that doesn't sound like something to juggle. That actually sounds like a freeing invitation. Like, no, we're to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with no difference between the two sides of us, the public, the private, the declared, and the lived in. Make a little bit of sense? All right, so then he goes to soul. And soul, it's fair when you think of the soul to think of the totality of your personhood. All of that you are is your soul. So you're invited to love God with everything that you are. The totality of you. Now, I've known the word totality for more than a week, but I haven't actually known the word totality till that eclipse thing happened. How many of you guys saw the eclipse in totality? You should probably stand up. Because this is a big deal. And I didn't, yeah, you're actually wearing a shirt that proves it. You couldn't get that on the internet. I didn't know it was as big of a deal until I heard the stories this time. I'd heard people who saw it before, and I was like, oh, that's cute that you think it's that big of a deal. And then Nikki and I were talking, and she went to the totality, and which sounds like a expensive place, but she went there, and Anna and I watched it here in the land of Brookline, and I was paying attention because I was excited for her to go experience something different, for all you guys to experience something different, and I'm hearing things like, oh, the animals act different, and everything's different, and it's very emotional, and so I'm excited, and I got like two pairs of glasses for both Anna and I because I'm a 6 on the Enneagram and one pair won't work and I don't want to be blind. And so we're sitting outside way too long and it looked like a cloud came. And the birds sounded exactly how the birds sound. My neighbors acted way different. I don't know if the eclipse had anything to do with their acting. But one guy was looking in a Cheerio box. People were like just laying in their yard, just waiting for stuff. Neighbors were different, but otherwise it looked like we just became Seattle for about 6 minutes and then it went away. Now through the glasses it looked pretty awesome, but they say that we were 99% covered here, right? That was coolish, cool adjacent. There were some weird shadows. And then Nikki came home and I heard the stories. And I talked to some other people and heard the stories of how animals did change and that 360 horizon and the emotions that were felt just corporately as like people felt joy and sorrow and power and a connection to the sun and the moon in a different way and all of this beauty and that 1%, my goodness, does that matter? I would have told you 1% wasn't that big of a deal. But totality, I'd believe in it now. Like, the next one in the U.S. when I'm like 700 years old, I'm going. Like, that sounds great. It sounds like something we want to experience. Your soul, the totality of who you are. Jesus is asking for that, to love him. Now, before we feel like that's shame and all of these things, just think of it, like, he's not saying to be perfect. He's saying the totality of who you are, he wants you to love him. That's what the law says. Not 99% of you. 100% of who you are. Let the totality of you love God. Is that another eclipse? Then it goes to mind, right? The power of our thought. Not just what we think about, but how we think about what we think about. This is so important. He's not saying, love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all your correct thoughts. He's saying with all of your thoughts. It's not that they're not wrong. It's that our thoughts are to be filtered by the fact that we are loved by God and we love in response. That's what that's talking about. That when we think of our neighbor, when we think of sweet Sharon, who's out there hurting this morning, that's filtered through the idea that we serve a loving God and that we love that God. It impacts the way we interact. It changes everything. It's the totality of our thoughts as well. It's secure. It's attached. It's love. The next word is might. And this word is used as an adverb, usually, meaning greatly or exceedingly. The theologian Christopher Wright says that it's like saying very muchness. Love the Lord your God with your very muchness. Jesus is saying that we get to love the Lord our God without hypocrisy, with the totality of who we are, with the center of your thoughts, the very muchness of who you are. Doesn't say, hide the parts you don't think God will like. He doesn't say, hide the parts that the people who say they know God don't like. He's not saying, clean up, change everything, become better, and then we'll give you a shot. He's saying, whoever you are today, love God. Now that can feel like juggling, right? That can feel like, great, now I got to get better at that and in totality and no. Let's relax. We got to remember 1 John 4. We love because he first loved us. We love because he went first. Took care of everything. This is something we can experience. We've talked about this love of God being something completely other. It's a love that's attached us. It grounds our identity. It offers us security, belonging, and hope. We're loved with this never let go kind of love that transforms us and engulfs us. That changes us. There's this theologian I like named Howard Thurman who says it this way. The transformation may be so gradual that it passes unnoticed until one day everything is seen as different. Somewhere along the road, a turn has been taken, a turn so simply a part of the landscape that it did not seem like a change in direction at all. A person will notice that some things that used to be difficult are now easier. Some things that are all right are no longer possible. There has been a slow invasion of the Spirit of God that marked no place or time. We're not being told to juggle and juggle better. We're told to be loved and stay in that love. To trust that tether And as we do, we're changed, slowly invaded by this loving Spirit of God who transforms our hypocrisy into faithfulness and wholeheartedness, transforms our fragmented love into totality, transforms our fearful, judgmental, limited thinking to be filtered through the secure attachment to God that's available to anyone. This very small flicker of ourselves into the whole very muchness we were created for. Slowly, everything looks different. So how do we actually then love our neighbor, and how do we love ourselves? And then we start getting ready to juggle again. We're going to talk in a couple weeks about loving our neighbor. I just want to say one thing about loving ourselves now, and then we'll wrap up. I'm concerned, not in this room, I'm concerned in like everywhere, right? Not like highly concerned just here, but everywhere, with how much we don't love ourselves. And when we do, it kind of is in this like, I love myself compared to you. It's the only way we know how to do it, right? And if you're there, I want to invite you to not stay there. If you don't like you, I'm sorry you don't, and I know how painful that is because I lived in my version of it for a really long time. But a couple ways that we can start sneaking out of that to accurately see ourselves is I want to encourage you to remind yourself that you are loved. Maybe not by yourself. Maybe you don't love you yet, but God really does. And if Scripture is helpful to you, then write out Scriptures and put them in your car and in your home and on your mirror. If other reminders are helpful, take those reminders. If a song is helpful, so play the song. And do that until you start to agree with it. You're loved. You're loved. Sometimes we get really, really critical of ourselves and really good at self-improvement, and that is a gift, right? It's also a curse. I want to invite you all into a very practical Sabbath this week, okay? For one afternoon, or one evening, or one morning, give yourself a Sabbath from the second thoughts. And here's what I mean by that. We have a first thought, that we're critical of ourselves or something like that. Don't beat yourself up about that, but don't then follow it with 2, 3, 4, 5 other thoughts about how bad you are, or how you screwed up, or a memory of, it's gonna come up. We do that. But more than being bad, you are loved. More than being sinful, you are an image bearer. More than being broken, you were worth Christ going to the cross, giving everything, being resurrected so you can know that life. You're worth loved. And out of that love, loving others. Last real practical thing on that I want to give you, and then I'm going to pray, is there's wisdom in paying attention to who you're around. I've got some great friends. I'm really grateful for that. And when I'm around them, I'm reminded that maybe, just maybe, I'm lovable. I've got some guys that when we stop talking, we say, I love you. Then we hang up. I thought of it because I was talking to one of those guys, and another friend was like, were you talking to your mom? No. Your wife? No. My buddy. I'm like, huh? Okay. And like, yeah, I can believe I'm loved because you all remind me that I'm loved. And so best we can, let's get some kind people in our world. It's part of why we gather. We gather like this so we, like, we're reminded, oh yeah, I am loved. There is a place I belong. And this love of God that I then get to go love with the totality of who I am and all, oh, I'm not juggling. I'm anchored. I'm tethered. And if it feels like you're juggling, if it feels like too much, then the gift is Jesus just asks, your job is to remain in him. Just remain. Be loved. Out of that love, love. And his kingdom come. Amen? Let's pray together. Jesus, thanks that you loved first. Would you please give us some courage to believe that love was not just for our neighbor, but for us. Not just for the Sunday us, but the Thursday night us. Not just for the 20% or the 40% or the 99% of who we are, but for the totality. That you love us. And out of that, we get to love with the whole of who we are. May your kingdom come. Thank you.